Trenton and Joel from Hands Like Houses, welcome to Triple M Hard and Heavy. One of the things I wanted to touch on was a shift in sound from a couple of years ago. We've been playing Monster from 2018 quite a bit, but that's a different sound to where you are now.
I think we're a band that's always taken, I guess, a bit of a roundabout route. I think we've always tried to, you know, take a step to the side every time we try and take a step forward. And so I think for us, it's always been, just between albums, trying to make a shift. And I think that's part of the reason we've gone for an EP rather than an album, is to just have a bit more of a continuity to it. Because while it might feel like for us a pretty short amount of time between albums, it's actually can be quite a long period with a lot of different, you know, shifts in just what we listen to. And that always has a big influence on what we write.
And Joel, where do the ideas for this come from now as a band? Is it from ideas you've got at home, or is it together as a band? How does that process work now?
Yeah, well, I guess this has developed quite a lot for us over the years. You know, obviously back in the heyday of when we'd started playing music together, we were, you know, in the parents' garage kind of five nights a week making music and just kind of figuring out what we were doing. But obviously as things change and we kind of got older and I guess moved into different places as well, a lot of these ideas do come from, you know, being in our own little homes or our own little kind of personal studio setups. And, you know, a lot of it is done by correspondence these days because we don't have kind of that luxury of, you know, just turning up to band practice every night of the week and kind of going through those motions. So a lot of these ideas now are, you know, stem from someone being at home writing a riff and then bringing it to the group and then kind of building it before we then head into the studio. So it's definitely changed quite a lot over the years. And we're just trying to adapt to that. But thankfully in 2020, it's relatively easy to do stuff by correspondence on the internet, and something we've definitely learned a lot this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, do you, because you've been together for so long and you kind of know each other intimately, do you know when you're writing something, you'll go, yes, they're going to love this? Or is there stuff that you go, we'll just test the waters?
I've definitely written things I love this. I know they're going to hate it. And I think we've all had those as well.
Yeah. I think that's kind of the dynamic of our group, especially, is we all kind of have, you know, sure, we have a common interest in kind of the sound that makes us Hands Like Houses, but we all do have quite different kind of musical tastes. And I think that's what ends up making kind of the product quite interesting. But yeah, you know, definitely songs that someone will really love. There's definitely, like, I think we always just know that there's going to be a bit of resistance from that. And I guess we've come to accept it a little bit, but I think it's very rare that one person is really stoked and then everyone is unanimously like, yeah, this is the golden ticket, you know?
Do you have that? Well, Joel, you're talking about the personal music differences. What's the stuff that you would listen to that maybe Trenton wouldn't?
Oh, look, it's probably everything that I listen to. we probably have
some. Yeah, I back that.
I guess, for me, you know, obviously I grew up, when I was young, when we started playing music, it was very much this kind of like punk, kind of pop punk, kind of punky hardcore type world. But, you know, over the years, I guess my musical inspirations changed quite a little bit. And as I got more into playing bass and understanding bass, it definitely came a little bit more of a kind of groove funk based inspiration for me, which sometimes is very hard to translate to a hard rock band. But I think there's definitely a lot of bands that I would put on and chuck on Spotify, and I know Trent would definitely not be interested in listening to it. Like, he'll, you know, to his credit, he'll tolerate it. But I guess just because of that, we all started in quite a similar world of that kind of post-hardcore, whatever we wanted to call it back then, the emo kind of phase. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we all grew in such different ways, and, you know, I think we still do have some common bands that we all still like. And, you know, looking down the Nothing But Thieves and Royal Bloods and I guess some of the Bring Me the Horizon type bands that we can all go, yeah, this is really cool rock music that we, you know, we still take influence from and inspiration from. But a lot of the core music that especially I would listen to, I think it, yeah, probably like everyone in the band, it's very different all around the group, which I guess makes it so interesting for us coming together.
Yeah, what do they call those, the diagrams with the circles, and in the middle everything kind of, on the outer it's different, but in the middle it all meshes together beautifully?
Yeah, our Venn diagram is...
That's the one I meant, the Venn diagram,
there is,
sorry.
Yeah, there's a very tiny little overlap in the middle that we just got to keep aiming for and, you know, play a bit of give and take sometimes.
Well, what did you, what were you into, Trenton?
I am so all over the place because I'll listen to, you know, crazy heavy bands like Alpha Wolf and Converge, and then I'll go listen to Banks or Hayley Williams or kind of more chilled out sort of ambient stuff. And then, you know, Linkin Park is always a big one for me, Phillies, that sort of stuff. So, yeah, it's a bit all over the place for me, and it's not really any real rhyme or reason to it.
You know what I love about that, though? I mean, those examples that both of you have just given me, you can't hear those influences directly in your music now. You've created your own sound, which I think is, you know, a credit to all of you. You've grown older and you've become better songwriters and you know, you can structure a song differently than you might have 10 years ago.
I like to think that, you know, when you listen to so many different types of music, you kind of get a feel for what works in all of them. And so some of the commonalities are actually quite subtle. So you start, it's your sense of melody, your sense of rhythm all kind of comes from all those different directions.
Is it weird now? I don't know why this just came to me, but is it weird now when you were younger and you said earlier that you're just jamming out in parents' garages or whatever, is it weird now to actually think of yourselves as you're musicians now? You can actually legitimately call yourselves musicians.
It's definitely weird. We have the occasional like made it moment where you kind of do something that I think everyone around you recognize. So, I mean, for us, it's been a gradual process. So everything kind of, I guess we're a little bit jaded now, but I think there's certain things like, you know, like having the footy song this year for, you know, both the codes, like just having friends reach out about that sort of thing. That's where it's kind of the pinch yourself moment for sure.
Because you are, it's been such a long time going, you know, when you first start in a band, and I remember when I was playing in a cover band back in the 90s, you don't consider yourself a musician. You're just doing it because you're having fun with your mates. But over time, yeah, you earn that respect and that admiration that you go, well, hang on a minute, I'm actually a full-time musician now. This is kind of weird.
Yeah.
And it's the dream come true in a way.
Yeah, I think it's definitely, absolutely, it's a dream come true. And I think, you know, I know through the kind of mid part of our career, I think we did find this, I don't know, collective idea of, you know, we were kind of so desperate to try and like, you know, keep growing this band and keep touring and, you know, keep kind of giving a crack at it, that there wasn't a whole lot of time where we could actually sit back and be like, wow, how cool is this? We're touring all over the world and we've got fans coming out to see us all over the world. And, you know, I think like Trenton said, there has been a couple of these moments that's kind of, I guess, really been a bit of a reality check to be like, oh, wow, like we've actually just had a song that's, you know, been used for the AFL and NRL for finals campaigns and things like that, where, you know, my dad will call me up and be like, I saw you on the footy. And my dad loves the footy. So, you know, it's not often like I'll get that kind of from him. But yeah, I think we've always been a band that's kind of always been striving to keep pushing for more. And I think over this last year, and especially kind of over this COVID time, it's, I guess, made us appreciate a little bit more kind of the successes we've had and I guess enjoy them a little bit more, as opposed to trying to keep reaching and kind of get caught up in that mentality.
Well, let's talk about this new self-titled EP, which does, in five songs, you manage to explore a lot of area. That's what I found as well. You know, From the Water, the great opener, really launches in hard, and Space has got this, it's aptly titled because of the enormity of the chorus. It's got that very spacey sound. So I'd love to talk through these with you. Can you tell me about The Water, Trenton?
Yeah, well, The Water was, I think, obviously very strongly influenced by where we were recorded. We did the EP at Avoca Beach in a beach house on the Central Coast of New South Wales. So, you know, the lyrics came about particularly because I was just sitting on the balcony kind of trying to figure out what I wanted to write about that day, and was watching people just swim out super far into the water. And I just always thought that was such a kind of poetically powerful thing, to just go out into this, you know, immensely powerful thing like the ocean, and to just keep going and going, and how crazy that really is to think about. And then I kind of, you know, just playing around with it in my head, I kind of flipped it the other way around, and I thought, well, imagine if you lived in the ocean and then kind of came up on land, how wild that would be. And it's kind of, you know, played into that fish out of water cliche. So it was cool to kind of flip it on its head and think about it. And being such a fun and light and beachy sounding song, it kind of fit really perfectly while still having that, I guess, more serious sort of note to it as well.
So were all the songs written at this one place?
pretty much, yeah. We had a, you know, a bunch of ideas kind of bouncing around that would just be a riff or like a little melody or a little hook or a, you know, tiny little bits and pieces, but we didn't really know what we wanted the EP to look like as a whole. So it was only once we sat down together in that space was we actually put those ideas together and decided what it needed to look like as a big picture.
Yeah, it's really impressive to me that you can have that effect. The environment can have that effect like the water, but then you go in, like I said, space or dangerous or even Stranger has one that's real. Actually, I'm going to jump forward because Stranger is another one that's really stuck with me. It's got under my skin and I want to know more about that one. I don't know why, but I mean, that's just the beauty of music, isn't it? Certain songs will affect you in different ways. So I'd love to know about that one if you can.
Yoli, that's it. This is all you, baby.
Yeah, well, I guess this was, you know, this was an idea, you know, this, I guess the song was kind of built around this first riff. And I don't know, for me at the time, I was actually listening to quite a lot of the Gorillaz, a band that I really liked. I kind of like this kind of, it's almost this like arrogant steeze that they have in some of their music that kind of, you know, make, I guess, gives you this kind of confidence in a beat or confidence in this like kind of movement rhythm. And that was where this kind of influence came from for me. And I guess we'd kind of gone in and, yeah, like Trenton mentioned, we got in on the first day. We didn't really know what shape these songs were going to take, but it was one that we kind of just kept sitting on and we were looping on for a couple of days before we were like, cool, this feels good. And we had to refine it a little bit. And I guess once we finally got to that point where Trent started coming in and getting some lyrics and getting some melodies in, I think it just started taking some really good shape. And yeah, I think had this factor that I think we hadn't really delved into before. And, you know, since writing it, I've been kind of waiting for the day that we can play that one live and, you know, just see what that looks like playing it in a live setting. But we haven't quite got there yet. But, yeah, if Trent, you want to touch on some of the lyrical side of how that came about?
I was going to say you were looping on it for a while because I was downstairs trying to write lyrics for other songs and it was just constant. It got so ingrained in my head. But, yeah, I think it was kind of just, again, that you said about that sense of kind of confident, kind of borderline arrogance to it. And that, you know, that I think that's what came through in the lyrics for me of just that feeling of like, feel, you know, just being able to kind of ride your own vibe. And that was really what it was about for me. So, yeah, kind of having it thumping above my head while I was trying to write other songs, it meant that when I finally actually got around to writing lyrics for Stranger, the beat and the vibe was so ingrained that it actually came pretty naturally compared to some of the other songs.
You know, I love nerding out and talking about this kind of stuff. And so I apologize if I get a little bit fanboy because I'm just so fascinated with songwriting processes. Did you have any others that on this EP that fought you, but you really wanted to push for and get through?
Wired was definitely the one for me. It was kind of the last one we put together because we knew that there was this space that we needed to fill, but we had these four songs that all had such different directions, but there was this kind of, you know, talking about the Venn diagrams earlier, there was this kind of gap in the EP and we just needed to fill it with something that we kind of had a driving sort of energy. Like it was just all forward momentum and, you know, Wired kind of sits in this pocket. And for me, that was actually really challenging because a lot of the music I listen to is more like, you know, pop or rock that's got a very strong kind of chord based sort of theory to it. Whereas, you know, a lot of the kind of the indie stuff that some of the other guys listen to, it's not that it's monotonous, it's just that it's very kind of sits in a pocket and kind of stays in kind of one place and it doesn't have as much innate push and pull. And so for me, it was kind of really hard to settle and get a bit of a, I guess, get a footing in. So, I mean, that really came through in the lyrics, that sense of pressure and, you know, feeling like the way that I write, the way that I listen to music, it's making it really hard to kind of dig my fingers into what this song is. And that's where that ended up kind of informing, I guess, the feeling behind the song. So it took ages to get started, but once kind of had that momentum, it's like the song, like once that momentum's there, there's no real letting up. And I really kind of sank into that creatively, I suppose, and just, yeah, put my head down, didn't let up, and eventually came out with pretty much the song as it is. Like, you know, it only takes 10 minutes to write a song, but it might take weeks to create that 10 minutes.
Right. And Joel, were there any that fought you on this one, or was it a pretty easy process?
To be honest, I don't think it's ever actually an easy process. And I think, you know, like we've mentioned about having so many different musical influences and trying to find that right balance for us. You know, there was definitely times in the studio for me that, you know, I was having a tough time with songs, and, you know, probably for me early on, it was like Dangerous was probably the one that I was kind of struggling with the most, because I always felt like it had something there. But I think in kind of the early stages of the demo, it was just sitting a little bit wrong with me. But I guess the more time we actually kind of spent on the song and, you know, really knuckled down on some of the rhythms, and for me, probably specifically some of the tones, I think that was like, I think those were the things that really helped bring a lot of the songs to life and kind of take them into that next level where, you know, it felt a little bit more harder hitting and a bit more driven with, you know, some of the heavier guitar tones. I think it really brought out, especially in that song, something that I thought was, you know, just sitting a little bit uncomfortable for me. So that was probably the one that I had struggled with the most. But, you know, I think for all of us, it's probably a different song for everyone, because, you know, it also happens pretty quickly. We get in there with, you know, 15, 20 different demos that we're all liking, or it's maybe a riff or an idea that we just like. And, you know, pretty quickly within a couple of days, these songs just kind of take full shape. And, you know, it can be very easy to be reluctant at first or not be into it at first listen. And so I guess it's trusting the group and trusting everyone else to go, well, this is unanimously what we're doing, and move forward with that, and it'll all come around.
It's interesting that you mentioned Dangerous. My note for that one was, this is a pure stadium jump up and down rock banger.
I cannot wait to, yeah.
I mean, when you get to do that one live, that's just going to go bananas. So it's interesting, Joel, that you mentioned that that one didn't sit right with you, didn't feel right. And I'd love to explore what you mean by that. Like, because it, I mean, the end result is fantastic.
Yeah, and look, don't get me wrong, I'm stoked with how the song came out and how that energy, I think, did translate. But I think for me more, it was just, you know, when we first had that opening riff, we hadn't quite locked it in, and it didn't quite, you know, it wasn't just quite sitting in the right space. So it actually took quite a bit of time playing around with that opening riff and playing with, you know, bass tones and kind of some deep synths and stuff to really get it to like, to get it to the point that we wanted it to be. So, you know, I know we actually spent, I think it was better part of one afternoon just really sitting on this one riff, trying to make sure, because, you know, essentially apart from the kind of vocal kind of chorus intro, the riff was the first thing that really hits in first and kind of, you know, sets the tone for that song. So, and because I guess when I wasn't too happy with it, and when we weren't kind of, when it wasn't quite there, we knew that we just needed to get that first part right. Cause that's it, you know, that's a bit that kind of kicks you in the chest as soon as it hits off. So for me, as soon as we got that rhythm and I guess it tied enough with the tones, it really, yeah, that's the one that got me excited and ready to go to the stadiums.
Oh, so we can't run the headline that Joel hates the song then. We won't do that.
Absolutely not.
One thing that I've always found as well, sometimes when you come up with an idea, you hear what it's meant to sound like in your head, but kind of demoing it, sometimes that will suck the life and idea and soul out of what you've come up with and what you're hearing in your head. So that process Joel was talking about really putting it back together with the tones and the parts that link together is kind of like bringing it back to life after, you know, sometimes getting it out of your head is like the hardest part. And then you build it back up to what it sounds like in your head, or if not what it sounds like in your head, something that's even better.
Yeah, that'd be nice too. I imagine there's been a few happy accidents along your journey where you've started on one thing and gone, wait a minute, what was that you just did then? Let's go to that. Have you had a lot of those moments?
Yeah, for sure. Trying to remember what it was. I was demoing something recently and I was playing with a vocal effect and something just completely glitched out, and thankfully I was able to actually kind of record it, and then because I never could have recreated it, I still have no idea how it actually happened, but it was this bizarre like little kind of glitch sound that ended up sounding really, really cool and pushed into the background. So there's always little things like that, and that's part of the fun of creating is, you know, especially with the way that we did record this time, we tried to record all our guitar pedals on the way in instead of, you know, with bedroom recording or like recording the way that we did where it's all plugged straight into the computer. Sometimes you record pretty much what it sounds like directly out of your guitar before it hits the amp. And then you use a digital amp to kind of simulate the sound later. But we made a lot of decisions on the way in, which was, I guess, a more of an old school sort of approach where you have to, you know, because you're not having to think about it later, it means you can kind of, by making a decision up front, then it's about fitting it together rather than making it all happen at once, if that makes sense.
Yeah, gotcha. And I want to talk about Space, and as I mentioned earlier, aptly titled given the enormity of the sound of the chorus. As we've mentioned as well, you go into so many different areas. Where did this one come from?
This one was an Alex special, I think. One of Alex's favorite things when he's demoing is to layer up about 20 different guitars, which obviously makes it a bit of a challenge to figure out how to replicate that live and do it in the right way. But, you know, that's kind of what gives Space its kind of ethereal scale, I think, is just those different layers playing the same thing, but in different octaves and through different reverbs and delays. So that it creates this incredible like space as it were. So that's an Alex special, stacking it up. And I think a lot of the fun is always trying to figure out how to strip it back so that we can, you know, get away with two guitars playing it. And then sometimes convert some of those layers into keyboards, for examples, and synths or different kind of ambient sounds, or how we can get it at least close with different sorts of effects.
Well, that just ties us in beautifully to my next topic here. You said you're stripping it back and hopefully playing on a couple of guitars. We've got to talk about the tour that's been announced. The Australian tour that it only takes in New South Wales, Canberra and ACT. That's fine. We understand. It's coronavirus.
Yeah, very much. We kind of starting putting together maybe about a month ago, and at that point it was looking optimistic that we'd be able to at least open up with Queensland. So that was kind of optimistic, and obviously there's a few changes that have happened since with regards to South Australia and Victoria kind of switching places for the moment.
Yeah.
I think for us, you know, it's tough because we did, we actually had an audience for our Live in the Lounge live stream a few months ago, and we did, you know, a full rock set, and there was something about the energy about it. Like, we had a blast up on stage and the crowd really enjoyed it, but it didn't feel right for a rock show with everyone seated. And because at the moment we're kind of planning ahead based on current restrictions, you know, we have to have a seated audience. So for us, it was a really cool chance to kind of dig into our back catalog of reimagined versions of songs that we've done here and there over the years. And so we're kind of, it's not like a full acoustic show. It is a full band thing with, you know, electric guitars and stuff, but we try to take a bit more of a relaxed, chilled out take, and, you know, call it the Reflect Tour. So we can actually, in a way, it's kind of looking back at what this year's been and a chance to kind of just slow down and really think about how cool it is that we can actually do shows. And that just kind of had a cool energy about it. So we're looking forward to doing that. And yeah, starting to talk about how we can extend the tour to other parts of Australia not too long afterwards, but we'll see how the next month or two plays out.
Well, that was actually going to be my next question. Is there the opportunity to extend it if, you know, restrictions allow you to? So it's great to hear that, you know, people in Victoria or South Australia or even WA may be able to get to see you on this run.
Don't forget Tassie.
Tassie, yeah. Yeah, I think obviously for us in a perfect world, we'd take it all around the world, you know, but I think for us, we kind of had to obviously sit on our hands quite a bit this year because, you know, there's so much uncertainty and, you know, even if the shows will go ahead, and as we found pretty early on, we didn't want to get caught in this space where we had, you know, started taking people's ticket money, and then it kind of then becomes on us if the shows aren't going ahead, and it kind of put a lot of risk on it. So, you know, at least now that restrictions are easing mostly around the country, that was where we, you know, took the opportunity to go, well, let's develop our set a little bit more and work on this kind of reimagined style of a set. So at least we can go out and start playing again. Like, you know, we know it's going to be a seated crowd, but it also gives them just a different experience for us. And it's something that we've always really enjoyed as a band, of being able to reimagine what our songs are and how they can be translated differently. So I think it's also just a pretty important step for us to be able to give, you know, the supporters of our band a different look at, you know, what we enjoy doing as well, and kind of bring out some of those other influences. So I guess the hope will be that we can do this tour. Hopefully we can get to a couple more places around Australia if time permits, and then at some stage get back to full Rock Dogs.
Yeah, that'd be great. But you know what? I don't want to underplay what you're doing either. I think it is so great to see bands adapting and overcoming the situation and doing what they can, because it's not only for the fans but also for you guys. I know you love doing it, and I just want to let you know that it is appreciated by fans that, you know, we do have these opportunities, even though they are in a different environment, but we get to actually see our favourite bands doing what they do best. So, like you said, this is going to be something really special, this reimagined COVID-safe concert experience So yeah, well done to actually taking that cautious step to what could hopefully be full Rock Dogs, as you mentioned, Joel, in the not too distant future. Guys, thanks so much for taking the time. Now, I don't want to put the rush on you because you've just released an EP, but obviously you've got a lot of songs that you've been demoing. Is there going to be a new album in 2021 or soon thereafter?
Certainly not an album, but I think the idea is to, part of the reason of working on an EP was just to have, you know, small amounts of music more often. So
okay.
I've got a few ideas bouncing around already for kind of how we can follow up. We've got one or two things actually up our sleeve that we kind of did for other things that didn't come through. So we'll just go to look at the calendar and see how it all lines up. And yeah, there's always something happening.
Awesome. Joel, Trenton, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. And take care of yourselves and be safe, and we'll see you on the road.
Sounds good. Look forward to it.
Thanks, mate.